Well, last week I began a series of lessons on the names of God, and the first one that we began to consider was the name Abba, Father. That's how Brother Kyle addressed God this morning, and we have the privilege, the right, not a right that we demand, but a right that was given us by birth and by choice. We learned that this name, Abba, is a name of endearment as well as respect that fathers were referred to by their children. And this name reveals to us that those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, we've been given this glorious privilege to call the Almighty God. All the things that we're going to consider as we continue this series of lessons, that the names of God reveal who He is and His character and His virtues. And this is why I wanted to start with Abba Father, because as we continue this series, we need to understand that one who fills the universe is our Father. Our dear Father, that we can call upon Him at any moment and any time. We've been adopted, we've been born, so that means we have His very nature, but we've also been adopted. That means He chose us to give us all the rights and privileges as a son to inherit from the Father. And if God had not revealed these things to us, this would all be blasphemy. How could we ever even think such thing? But it's by His grace and His revelation, He said, "You're my child. I'm your Father." With the revelation of God being our Father, we learned last week that we need to understand that God loves us as a father should. That He's always dealing with us with our best interest in mind, both for time and for eternity. And it's always important for us to keep that context. We are, as the children of God, we are eternal beings who have eternal life. That means that God is dealing with us with eternity in mind. And so this is why it'll give us a little perspective when things don't seem to be going our way. When we are in the midst of those tragedies, those overwhelming sorrows and experiences that we go through in life. If we remember that God's doing something eternal, He hasn't abandoned us. He's still our Father. He still loves us with that everlasting love. And so if we can lay hold of that revelation, it'll give us the strength to take the next step in that trial and in that dark valley until we see God manifesting Himself faithful. Sometimes that's in this life where we see what He was doing. Some things we may not know till the other side. But because I know He's my Father, I know He will not disappoint me. He loves me with that everlasting love. Now, this morning, we want to look at a couple of other characteristics of a good father, of our good father, the Heavenly Father. And that is that He has the authority, because He loves us, He has the authority to instruct us concerning our conduct in order that we might have His best. Everything He does, He deals with us in a way that allows us to have His best. So this morning, I want to consider actually three more aspects that God as our Father has the authority to tell us what to do. He's our Father. But He also, as our Father, is faithful to provide for us. So He will always provide everything we need to have His best in time and eternity. And then lastly, an inheritance. So as we have time this morning, we'll look at those three things. Because He's revealed to us that we are His children, that He is our Father, we know these things to be true as well. Because this is what a good father does. He has the responsibility, as all fathers do. He has a responsibility to instruct us, to teach us, in order that we might be successful in life. That's what a good father does for a child, is give them boundaries and instructions that will lead them to the outcome of being successful in life. Well, the success that God wants for us is success in doing His will, that we might enjoy all the benefits of doing His will. Too many Christians, certainly the world, but too many Christians look at the will of God as something we just have to do, as something that sometimes is negative. But the will of God is leading us to God's best, to all the benefits, protection, provision, wisdom, everything we need in life, everything that man says he's looking for is only found in the will of God, because He's our Creator. He made us. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. He knows how we need it. And that Creator is also our loving Father. And so we'll look a little bit at His authority as our Father to instruct us. If He's truly going to express His love to us, He must exercise authority in our life. He has to. And we as his children, if we're going to benefit from that love, we're going to have to acknowledge his authority. And that's a problem for a lot of God's people. We live in a country that we just like our independence. We don't like authority. But in Christ, as God as our Father, we need to acknowledge his authority. The Word of God that reveals the will of God, that was inspired by God himself, has authority in our life. Brother Doug's not your final authority. Abundant Grace is not your final authority. The government's not your final authority. The Word of God is. The will of God. And we have to acknowledge that and recognize that. Many children in the natural, they rebel against authority, and we've seen over and over again. Again, I'm dealing with a situation apart from the congregation where an individual rebelled against the authority of their parents, and now they're in a situation that they are just overwhelmed and don't know how they got there. It happens over and over and over again. And how much more is that true when God's children rebel against his authority? If a father loves their child, children, and now many parents, they feel like authority and love are contradictory. They're opposites. And that's not true. If you love your children, you will set boundaries. A parent who doesn't, they can say they love them all they want, but they don't. Because they're going to allow them to make choices and go in directions that will lead to failure. Unnecessarily. And that's what happens to many of God's people. Life is full of sorrow and trials in the will of God. But in the will of God, every unpleasant, unwanted thing, unexpected thing that you experience in the will of God, your loving Father is going to provide everything you need because he wanted you there for a reason. That's a peace you cannot find anywhere else. But when we live in rebellion against God's instruction for our life, we have exposed ourselves to hurt and danger that was not necessary. That even if we repent of that, which God's grace is always going to, God's love is going to always call you back and say, I love you, let's get back on track. But when we deviate from the will of God, there's scars for that. There's scars that we don't have to bear. So saints, this morning, with this revelation that God is our Father, let's also with that revelation understand he has a right to tell me what to do, to set boundaries for my life, and therefore my good, not to make me miserable. And I've heard young people express to their parents, especially when they wanted to go someplace where everybody else, all their friends are going, well, if you'd love me, you'd let me go too. It's because I love you, you're not going. It's because I love you. The same is true with the instruction in the Word of God. God's standard for godly conduct, much of which we studied in our letter to the Ephesians, had to do with all our relationships, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, children, workers, co-workers, bosses. All of those clear instructions, I mean, they touch right on everything. And even though they were written so many years ago, they apply right today to our very life. Those are the instructions that he gives us for our best as an expression of his love. Too often, children demand to know why. And sometimes, and it depends on their maturity, sometimes we can explain that. But I know my little children, when they were little, I did not take time to explain everything to them. I said no. Well, that doesn't go very well. Now, obviously, as they grow and mature, they deserve a little more explanation. But sometimes we as God's people, before we're going to submit to God's authority, sometimes we want to know why. You ever been in one of those trials? You just cannot. How in the world can this work for my good? There are a lot of difficult trials God's people go through in the will of God. But if we demand to know why before we do what he's instructed us to, do all the things that we as God's children are supposed to continue to do no matter what we're going through, if we say, no, not until you tell me why, we're being stubborn and rebellious. God's going to show himself to be right. You might as well start with that. God, I know you're right. I don't understand how you're right. It's okay to make it clear you don't understand. He already knows that. But don't say, I'm not going to do this until you do that. That's too many of God's people pray that way. Many times he explains in his word why he wants us to do what he wants us to do. And I'm glad for those explanations. But in every circumstance, I have to come to this place. He's my Father. He doesn't have to explain anything to me. In His love and His grace, He often does, but He didn't have to. Our responsibility is just to obey. Psalm 40, verses 5 to 8. When you remember that the all-wise, all-knowing, things we're going to look at in the revelation of His names, the Almighty God has also revealed Himself to be our Abba Father. If you truly believe that, do you see how much easier it is to do the will of God in every circumstance, in every situation? And without this revelation, it's such a basic revelation for we as Christians. But do you see how that basic foundation, doctrine, truth, revelation, He's my Father. Why wouldn't I want to do His will? He's all wise. He sees the end from the beginning. I don't. Many of you know I'm afflicted with a little OCD. And not knowing the end of things, that just drives me nuts. And I've got to make a plan to make sure I get to the right point at the right time. But life isn't that simple. There are a lot of things I can't see the end of, but my Father does. He's promised to be faithful to me. Just do what I've asked you to do today. I'll take care of tomorrow. And if we'll do that in Psalm 40 and verses 5 to 8, this will be our attitude. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. And we can even say something better than what the psalmist said. I delight to do your will, Abba Father. This is a prophecy actually concerning Jesus doing the will of the Father, being made flesh and dying for our sins. And Jesus is our supreme example. He prayed in the garden in His humanity. He wasn't looking forward to the torture of the cross. Yes, He was the Son of God, but He took upon Him the form of man, and He felt every stripe that was put on His back. He felt the pain and the agony, the thirst. And all of that, He felt that, and He wasn't, in His humanity, He wasn't looking forward to that. If it be your will, if it's possible to do your will and not go to the cross, your will be done, not mine. I delight to do your will. And in Jesus' case, that meant laying down His life for me. Saints, how can we not want to do? How can we not take pleasure in doing the will of the Father? Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 6. Now, part of exercising His authority is also exercising discipline on those who rebel against His word. Not to destroy them. What is the purpose of God's discipline? It is to bring us back to His will, that we might benefit fully from His love. He's never looking, as a child of God, get this in your head and in your heart. God is never looking for ways to get rid of you. He's always, always, even in your most rebellious stages of life, He's always looking to love you and bring you back to a place where you can experience personally, intimately, that love. This is why we read Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord what? Loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. Yes, children, that's why your parents punish you when you disobey. They must, if they love you. God will do the same. I'm glad when I have fallen short of His will. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is heavy. I don't raise your hands, but how many know that conviction of the Lord? It's not pleasant. You can read the psalmist when he was convicted. It's not pleasant, but I'm glad He never lets me get away with anything. My parents didn't let me get away with anything, and I'm glad for that. But how much more, my Heavenly Father? I've seen the results. Again, I know my rebellious nature. It is as rebellious as anyone else's. I know the path I would go if it were not for the loving discipline of my Heavenly Father. And I don't despise it. I thank God He protects me from my own stupidity. That's His love. That's His authority. That's His responsibility. Now let's go on to the provision of the Father. It's a father's responsibility to provide everything for their children to thrive and to prosper in life. You bring a child into the world, that's your responsibility. Sadly, because of sin, many fathers have forsaken that responsibility, but not my Heavenly Father. He's committed Himself. I've heard preachers, pastor I grew up with, I learned, thank God for him, I learned a lot of foundational truths from him, but he had some odd ideas. And he used to talk about taking God's arm and twisting it by faith to get what he wanted. Even as a kid, I thought, man, if I tried that on my father, I don't have to force my father to do anything. And I can't. But he has committed himself to provide everything I need. That's my peace. That's my joy. Not my ability to somehow convince him and talk him into getting what I want. I know he already wants my best. I start with that. And then I come to him and ask him, Lord, I need your directions that I might walk in a way that I can have your best. Philippians 4:19. We'll read several passages here that let us know. So what is it that you need this morning? Physically, financially, spiritually? There are many needs in this little assembly. There's a ton of needs in this assembly, and they have a wide range. The promise from our Father is this, Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Well, how much riches does Jesus Christ have? All things were created by him and for him. He owns it all. So the context here, he'll supply what you need when you need it. To do what? So that I'll always feel good, so that I'll always have more money than I need. No, that you might do the will of God and have God's best. So whatever you need to do the will of God, he will provide. He has to, because he said he would, and he cannot lie. So when you pray for a healing, God's able to heal you. And if to enjoy the benefits of the will of God in your life, you need a healing, he will heal you. I have no question. My God can do anything. Nothing's impossible with my Father. But if he chooses not to, I'm sorry, it's still the same truth. Well, I'm not sorry. I'm glad. It's the same truth. He'll give you the strength you need. That's what he did for Paul. Paul prayed three times. I mean, he wanted rid of this thorn in the flesh. But when his father said, my grace is sufficient, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was promised the crown of righteousness. God provided what he needed even in his sickness, his disability. God provided for him what he needed to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Matthew 7:7-11. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And most of you know in the Greek it's the gerund form. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Well, that's just evil. But if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Remember that when you're in a trial and you ask him for deliverance and you ask him for provision of this or that, he's going to give you what you need. May not be what you think you need or what you want, but he'll give you exactly what you need. Maybe wisdom, maybe patience, maybe physical strength for that day. But whatever you need to have God's best in the will of God, he will give. Romans 8:32. Can I really be assured of that? Does God really love me that much for us to even ask that question? You see how foolish it is to ask that question. I mean, I ask it because we're foolish sometimes. Does God really love me that much? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, that's how much he loved you, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's where, when I meditate on these truths, when I'm overwhelmed and I can't see the end of the things that bring so much sorrow and discouragement and confusion, I always come back to this, but why would God abandon me now when he freely sent his son to die for me that I might have eternal life? And if he gave me what I needed more than anything, these testimonies of individuals coming to Jesus Christ, that's their greatest need. They probably have other needs too, don't they, Kyle? There's probably some financial needs. There's probably some things there. But their greatest need was fulfilled. And now their Heavenly Father will provide what they need when they need it, that they might have God's best. Saints, when you just rest in that, sit down on that, when you can't explain anything, when you're just overwhelmed, and even others around look and say, how in the world can you continue to serve and honor the Lord when he allows that? Because he's my Father. He freely gave me his son, and he's got an eternal plan for me, and he is exercising it. I trust him. God provides what you need. You can be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. I hear so often, well, Brother Doug, I can't be that kind of Christian. That's fine for you. You're a preacher. You're a missionary. That's fine. But I can't. You don't know your Heavenly Father. Paul wrote that it is God who both wills and does the work in us. He will give you what you need to be an overcoming Christian. You just have to receive it from your Father. Rest in Him. Lastly, quickly, inheritance, Romans 8. Too many Christians ask God, what kind of father are you that would allow such and such to happen? But you know, the question we really need to be asking ourselves is, what kind of child am I? Am I obedient? Am I rebellious? Romans 8, 14 and 18. Depending on what kind of child you are, whether you recognize His authority in your life, whether you submit yourself to His discipline when necessary, it will determine the degree of inheritance you receive in eternity. Everyone who's accepted Jesus as their Savior, who cries out, Abba, Father, they're saved eternally, based on not what they do, but what Jesus did on the cross. That's settled. But our inheritance has to do with what kind of child were we in this life. Every child of God has a home in heaven. Every child of God, as we'll read here, is an heir, Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, the mature ones. If in this life you allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life, you're a mature son of God starting right now. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Every child of God, no matter what their spiritual growth is, they've been placed as a son. They've been given all the rights and the privileges as a son, but not everybody reaches that level of maturity as a son. Anybody know a teenager or a young man or a woman who thinks they're an adult, but they still act like a child? Well, God has a few of those. I don't want to be one of those. And if children, then heirs. The only requirement to be an heir of God, a home in heaven, eternal life, is to be His child. The only requirement to be a child is to be born again. The only way to be born again is through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's how you get to be an heir. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is conditional. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What kind of child are you? Are you willing, as a mature son, daughter, to suffer alongside Jesus Christ, the will of your Heavenly Father, in a world that rejects God and His authority and rejects Jesus Christ? Are you willing to suffer with Him by doing His will? God says He'll reward those children with a special portion of heirship, inheritance. Again, everyone's who put their faith in Jesus, home in heaven, eternal life. That's an heir. But to be a joint heir with the heir of all things. Saints, we need to look beyond our trial and look at the eternal plan and purpose of God. And then thank God that we can cry out in every circumstance, in every situation, Abba, Father.